My first guest in this edition is Oklahoma Congresswoman Mary Fallon, a Republican representing the Sooner State's 5th Congressional District. She's also a Republican candidate for governor in the Sooner State for the 2010 campaign. We want to get her thoughts on a number of critical issues today, including the energy debate on Capitol Hill, how House Democrats have actually thrown a curveball to the administration on the issue of closing Guantanamo Bay's detention facility for terrorist suspects, and also the latest news on just how much Americans can observe on how their stimulus money is being spent. And Congresswoman, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be with you, Greg.
Well, let's start with energy. I know there was a major energy meeting among congressional Republicans on Tuesday. Previously, as we've talked about last summer and other points in the past few months, and all of the above strategy is kind of the GOP approach and the counter to the cap-and-trade approach that we're likely to see from the Obama administration and congressional Democrats. What are the bullet points? What are the principles in the Republican energy agenda?
Well, Greg, there's a pretty big dividing line between what the Democrat leadership wants to do on energy policy and what the Republicans want to do on energy policy. We've heard a lot about cap-and-trade, which is regulating carbon emissions, or we call it the cap and tax. It's basically just a tax on energy and a tax on emissions. And Republicans believe, like Democrats do, that we should be good stewards of our land, that we should care about our air and our water and in our land, and we should reduce pollution per se. But we also believe that there are ways to do that without destroying the energy that we have in our nation, the availability of it, and creating more dependence upon foreign oil. And so we have been advocating, as you mentioned, an all-the-above approach to American energy policy, which would include use of fossil fuels, which we use right now, oil and gas, include biodiesel fuels, nuclear, wind, solar, power, all the different forms of energy, and not to go to a system that taxes energy. It has been estimated that the cap-and-trade legislation that the Democrat leadership is promoting would actually increase utility costs by 30% on all Americans, and it would, of course, cost us millions of jobs, especially in the energy sector, and then not to mention just the energy sector, but the manufacturing sector, because anytime you raise production costs in utilities or you raise gasoline costs, then that cost is passed on down from the manufacturers down to consumers. And so then cost of everything goes up.
Congresswoman, it was Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid in an interview in recent days who said he believed that the toughest thing for congressional Democrats to pass this year will be their version of energy reform. He may have been referring specifically to the Senate and the possibility of a filibuster. But what are you noticing given the likely energy costs skyrocketing, as you mentioned just a moment ago? How wobbly are some House Democrats, particularly some of the more moderate ones?
Well, we've been working with the conservative Blue Dog Democrats, especially those who are concerned about our dependence upon foreign energy, concerned about the possibility of utility costs and energy costs in general going up, even business costs going up tremendously under the cap-and-trade proposal. And at this point in time, it looks like that there may be enough Republicans and Democrats joining together to stall this legislation out. Now, that's great, and I hope it never gets passed, but on the other hand, I am hearing that the EPA may come along with some new regulations and guidelines that would do some of the same things that they're wanting to do in cap-and-trade legislation, but they just can't get it passed. And so that's very concerning.
And that is one of the reasons that we saw just a couple of weeks ago the EPA say that it plans to regulate carbon dioxide as a pollutant. And you're right, there could be just some administrative regulations coming down the pike if Congress doesn't come through from the president's perspective on this front. Let's talk about another issue that was kind of a surprise, Congresswoman, and that's that the Democratic chairman of the House Appropriations Committee, David Obey of Wisconsin, certainly not usually on the side of congressional Republicans, denying about $50 million in funding for the closing of Guantanamo until the administration, he says, actually comes out with a concrete plan. How big of a surprise was that, and what do you make of that move?
Well, it was a huge surprise, and certainly been a lot of debate about Guantanamo Bay and President Obama's announcement that he planned to close Guantanamo Bay, where the terrorists have been held and where enemy combatants against our nation have been held. And, of course, the question that we always raise was, if you want to close Guantanamo, where are you going to put those prisoners? Are they going to return to their countries? If they return to their countries, are they going to go back into terrorism, which some of them have? Are you wanting to bring them to the United States? And then, of course, you saw a big protest by conservatives and I would say even some Democrats that said, we don't want the enemy combatants in our backyard and in our different states. And so apparently David Ombe, who's a budget chairman, got the message and said without a plan, which President Obama has not put forth a plan of what to do, then we're not going to include the money in the budget to close Guantanamo. So it's been interesting to watch what's going on, and we'll wait and see what happens further on President Obama's watch. You know, he made a campaign promise that he was going to close Gitmo, and I'm sure he's going to want to keep that promise.
Any indication from the administration what their plan is yet? Obviously, they still have 8 months to do this, but any advancement of this plot?
I haven't heard anything new this week. We just got word yesterday about David Ombe, Chairman Ombe's announcement that it was not going to be in the budget. So we're going to wait and see what happens with President Obama and see what his next move is.
Another issue that the president touted a lot back in February when the stimulus package was approved with only minimal Republican support in the Senate and none in the House of Representatives was that folks could make sure that their taxpayer dollars couldn't be wasted. They could go to a government website, I believe it was just recovery.gov, and track it dollar for dollar. But that's not exactly been borne out to be true. Explain what's going on there.
Well, President Obama promised that every dime of the stimulus money would be accounted for. It would be transparent when they were pushing the American people to support the stimulus package, which, by the way, I didn't support. And they said they were going to publish this information on a website, recovery.gov. And now administration officials are saying that the details of the stimulus spending won't be available until next spring. And even Speaker Pelosi said that there would be a historic level in this Congress of transparency and oversight and accountability, and that she was going to guarantee that the taxpayers' money would be spent wisely. But yet now we're hearing that this website will not be able to publish this information until possibly next spring. And actually, I went on it today to see in my state, in Oklahoma, if I could tell where the stimulus money was being spent and who the contracts were being awarded to, and actually if the money had been let through the bid process, and to see if there were any jobs created. And of course, I couldn't determine anything from the website either. It does tell the total amount of money that's allocated to the states and to the federal government on the stimulus, but it doesn't really give that accountability and transparency and openness that we were promised.
As members of Congress, do you have any other ways of gleaning as to just how efficiently this money is being spent, or is everyone pretty much dependent upon this one site?
Well, one of the things I'm doing is asking back home to my local department heads that have been receiving this money, you know, where is it? Where is it going? How is it being administered? And I'm trying to do everything I can, and I think most members are, to track it themselves within their own individual states.
One of the other issues I know that is come up in your home state of Oklahoma, Congresswoman, and that is of state sovereignty. This is an issue that some people get confused with secession. It's very different. It's simply saying that the government can't take powers that it's not granted in the Constitution, and it's just basically get your fingers out of our local affairs and honor the 10th Amendment, which reserves powers not specifically granted to the federal government, to the states, and ultimately to the people. Well, what do you make of what's going on back home?
Well, Greg, I think there are a lot of people who are frustrated, who are concerned about the direction of our nation. Our state legislature has passed a resolution expressing their frustration and expressing the frustration felt by many Oklahomans over unwanted federal intrusion into states' rights. And, of course, during this first few months of the Obama administration and through the leaders of this Congress, we have presided over unprecedented growth in the scope and the power of the federal government. We have certainly seen a massive expansion of authority of the government, and we've seen a huge amount of spending and debt. And there are people who are very concerned about their individual rights and their liberties and even their state's rights. And I think we're just seeing Oklahoma express their concern and frustration of what's happening in Washington, D.C.
About 60 seconds left here with Oklahoma Congresswoman Mary Fallon. And Congresswoman, of course, you're wearing two hats right now, as I mentioned in the beginning, Congresswoman, as well as a Republican candidate for governor. In the time you've been able to spend back home in your home state, what have you heard most from the people? What do they want most in their next governor and in their leaders in general?
Well, I think the people in Oklahoma are very concerned about our economy. They're concerned about having a job, concerned about making their house payments, concerned about their children's future, concerned about the national debt, concerned about the spending in Washington, D.C., concerned about the state's rights, as we just talked about. And they want to have accountability in Washington. Back home in Oklahoma, you know, they want government reform. They want us to watch out for wasteful spending. They want us to be wise with taxpayer dollars. They want the usual things that parents and businesses are concerned about. They want education reform, health care reform. They want lawsuit reform. They want to make sure that the rules and regulations are fair, that the tax code is fair, that we don't overtax, we don't overspend, and that we're responsible with taxpayer dollars.
Congresswoman, unfortunately, we need to close there. Thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome, Greg. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Same here. Oklahoma Congresswoman Mary Fallon represents her state's 5th Congressional District, Republican candidate for governor in the 2010 campaign. This is Dateline Washington.